All right, here we are, waiting for the word that bring us happiness, that help us to walk in the narrow path, to help us to do the best we can in life. That's what we're here for today, and this day is dedicated to the Lord. So let's keep it that in mind, that what we hear here behind the pulpit, it's for our own good, because we are his children. And I know my brother Adam is prepared for that, because he's always prepared. He does not need a week, a month. One day, even now, he was taking notes. I know he just got his sermon right now as he was sitting here. When for me, it takes a month, 2 months, I don't know. But that's how the Lord works. And I know that the Spirit of the Lord is here with us, because I can feel it. I can feel the love of all of us here. So without more taking any time, I'll present to you our brother, Adam Yates.
Thank you, Jose. Good morning. I welcome each one of you here this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm supposed to preach tonight, and we had some shuffling going on, and so I got home yesterday evening, and when I got service again on my phone, I saw that Andy had texted me and asked if I could switch and preach this morning, and so I had some thoughts that I'd been considering the last couple days, some things that have been on my mind. And so I have a message that I want to bring today. Before I begin, though, I want to quickly... I was listening to a sermon from one of our brothers in Missouri the other day, and he made this point that's been on my mind, and it's not what I'm preaching about, but I feel like I want this morning to just remind us of this. So I'm going to read these two scriptures, make this point, and then I'm going to start my sermon here. But, you know, he was talking, and he read this scripture in Alma. And we know this particular scripture where Alma's talking to the people, and he asks this, you know, 30-verse series of questions. You know, have you been spiritually born of God? He says, have you received His image in your countenances? And later on he says, I say unto you, can you look up at that day that you stand before the Lord having the image of God engraven upon your countenance? You know, we know that scripture, and this is the scripture that the brother started with. He says, you know, we think about this and we consider this, that, you know, as Christians and as followers of Christ, we are supposed to be a reflection of Christ. You know, when someone looks at us, I mean, they're not going to look at me and see Christ. I guess we don't know what He looks like. But do we see enough that we can say, I know who that person is? We consider that, and I hope each one of us, we're in this race of life, we're in this spiritual walk, because that's what we want. We want to emulate our Lord and Savior, the things that He did, the attitude that He had. This brother brought it over to Luke in the 20th chapter, you know, and I don't need to read it. We know the story that the Pharisees, they were tempting Christ, and they showed Him a penny, and they said, you know, should we render tribute unto Caesar? And they were trying to trick Him. They were hoping that He would say, you know, you don't need to do that, or whatever it is. And Christ said, you know, show me that penny. And He says, whose image is on it? Well, it's Caesar's. And Christ says, you know, then you render to Caesar those things that are Caesar's. He says, and you give to God those things which are God's. And the thought that this brother presented that's been on my mind, that I've one of those things I've been mulling around, is that you know, we recognize that we are supposed to be the image of Christ. And so if a penny in Christ's day had Caesar's picture on it and it belonged to Him, that penny was Caesar's. He was loaning it out, but He expected to have it back. If we have, do we have the image of Christ? And do we remember, and are we considering who it is that we belong to? Does that direct us in our thoughts and our hearts every day? Just something that I wanted us to consider today. That's not what I'm going to preach about, but a thought that I want you to just be mindful of. You know, as we wake up in the morning and we go about our day, do we think about that? That we owe our life, we owe our family, our happiness, all these things to the Lord. If we have His image engraven upon our countenances, who does it really belong to? I do want to begin this morning in the book of Enos, in the Book of Mormon, in the first and only chapter of Enos. It's on page 194 if you're going to follow along. And I don't know that I'm going to take too much time this morning. Hopefully the things that have been on my heart, that I've been considering as I've been calling out to the Lord and considering how He's working with me, hopefully these things are something that you would consider as well. So I'm going to begin in Enos chapter 1, and I'm just going to read the first 10 verses, and just as a reminder, but I want to consider something that Enos brought forth here. "Behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father, that he was a just man, for he taught me in his language, and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and blessed be the name of my God for it. And I'll tell you of the wrestle that I had before God, before that I received remission of my sins. Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest, and the words which I had often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints, and the words of my father had sunk deep into my heart, and my soul hungered. And I kneeled down before my Maker, and I cried unto Him in mighty prayer and supplication for mine own soul. And all the day long I did cry unto Him. Yea, when the night came, I still did raise my voice high, that it reached the heavens. And there came a voice unto me, saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed. And I, Enos, knew that God could not lie, wherefore my guilt was swept away, and I asked. And I said, Lord, how is it done? And He saith unto me, because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast not heard nor seen." You know, I've considered this. You know, yesterday I had to, or the day before yesterday, you know, last week at the ranch, we were out there camping. You know, we went to leave, my family and I went to leave on Tuesday, and I have that tent trailer that we took up there, and I had it all loaded up and backed my truck up to it and stepped out to put the trailer on the trailer hitch and realized I left the trailer hitch at home. And of course, nobody else had one there. So I had to leave it up there, and I didn't want to leave it for too long. I had some stuff in there I didn't want any of the animals to get into or anything like that. And we'll have other plans later on this year that I'll need it for. So I zipped up to the ranch on Friday, and had a very good close friend with me up there with my children and all that, you know. But as we were driving up there, I thought about this. That I continue to be in this place in my life, and I've been here many times, and I'm certain that many of you are here now and have been many times, when you feel your soul hungering for the Lord. You know, Enos here, he had this thing on his heart. He didn't realize it when he took off from his house that day. He went simply to go and fill whatever they would use for a refrigerator back in those days. And he was going to hunt, he was doing those things, but as he was going, he began to consider the state of his soul and where he was heading and what he was doing and how the Lord was working with him, and he says that his soul was hungry. You know, I look real quick in the Webster's in the 1828 dictionary, that's probably the closest we have to a Strong's for the Book of Mormon, and, oh, I didn't write that one down. Forgive me here, I'm going to get on my phone and read this real quick. Because I found it's interesting. You guys all know I love looking at words and what they mean. So here, you know, in the dictionary, in the 1828 dictionary, that time when Joseph Smith was penning these things, and I think would have used the common language of the day, the word hunger, it says, an uneasy sensation occasioned by the want of food, a craving of food by the stomach. But then it goes on, it says, hunger is not merely a want of food. For when a person is sick, they may abstain long from eating without any hunger or without any appetite for food. Hunger, therefore, is the pain or uneasiness of the stomach of a healthy person when too long destitute of food. You know, I want you to consider that in your life. And before I go any further than that, let's go ahead and turn in the book of Psalms to the 143rd Psalm. And I'm going to go ahead and read probably the first six verses here and in this similar vein. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no living man be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. You know, that word thirst, if we look it up in that same definition here, it says it's a painful sensation of the throat occasioned by want of drink. Something that only water or only some liquid can satisfy. You know, here we look at these two instances, and it's only a couple of many where we see these writers and these men, and they're describing their desire for the Lord to be with him and to reveal himself and to help him with understanding and direction as being these things that we recognize as being some of those most necessary things for life, right? Aside from oxygen, water is probably one of the most important things, right? Nurses in here and all that, right? If we don't have water, we can't go for what, more than 3 or 4 days without it? And while we can go without food for a significant amount of time, you know, when we don't have food, we lose strength. I don't know if you guys had seen the movie, but I've also, the book is phenomenal. That book, it's called Unbroken. It's about Louis Zamperini, who was that Olympic runner in World War in the 30s, and he was a bomber on a airplane there in World War II, and they crashed, and he and a couple other men survived on a lifeboat there in the Pacific Ocean for 40 something days, or maybe it was longer. They set a record, and then they were captured by the Japanese, and it was terrible, the things. But you know, he's talking about the fact that, you know, they were so famished without water and without food. It says, you know, it was all they could do to even just lift their arm. It was all they could do, because without nourishment, without that sustenance, without those things that give energy and give strength, and the other thing that it would do if they were without is they were without hope oftentimes when they had no food and they had no water. You know, I wonder, and I have been just considering this day and throughout this week, you know, this desire that we have is, are we hungry? Are we thirsty? Are we feeling in our life desperate for the Lord to speak to us, to encourage us, to acknowledge us? You know, how many times have we come here and we hear the minister who's speaking, or we hear it in testimonies and that sort of thing, this warning about becoming complacent? We're just satisfied with our relationship with the Lord. And there are times for satisfaction, aren't there? I mean, there are, you know, that when we have a blessing or those things, you know, that we feel this fullness of the Lord's blessing with us, and it's a relief to that hunger, and it's a relief to that thirst. But you know, I feel like we need to be so careful that we never lose track of the fact that we need to be hungering for the Lord to work with us. That when whatever trial or difficulty you are undergoing right now that is causing you to do even as Enos did, to go out in the forest or whatever place of your closet, wherever it is, and pour out your heart to Him, whenever that thing is accomplished, that we don't forget that the Lord desires us to be hungry for Him. Philippians chapter 4, a simple and short little verse here. We'll read verses 10 through 12. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I was thinking about that, you know, that my brother-in-law Gary, a couple weeks ago, he brought my wife and I a brisket that he had smoked. And he gave it to us. It was still hot, wrapped in tin foil and all that, you know. And I'll confess that my wife and I, we didn't share it with our kids. And you know, I, boy, did we eat that. And we ate and, you know, put it in the refrigerator, and I went back a couple times, even when it was cold. Oh, it was so good. Gary, I'd put in an order for another one anytime. And you know what the thing was, is that, you know, I came to the place where I was absolutely full. I was stuffed to the brim, and yet brisket still sounded good, right? I was full, but I was still hungry for it. And, you know, maybe a silly comparison, but, you know, I want us to think about that, that this is the state that we should be in our relationship with the Lord all the time, that we want, that we recognize that the sustenance, that the nourishment, that what it is that keeps us going in life is that communication and that connection with Him. His Spirit working with us and giving us direction and guidance, or acknowledging us or correcting us or telling us, hey, you're doing well. Revealing Himself unto us. That's what gives us nourishment. That's what helps us to go forward. But then, you know, we have to always be desiring those things. Desiring that relationship with the Lord that continues. That we're full, but we're always hungry. That we're desirous of more things. You know, where am I right now in my life? My soul is hungering for the Lord to give me direction. Not that He hasn't, but, you know, and I feel this great peace oftentimes from Him, but I desire, you know, am I doing what You want me to? Am I going where You want me to be? If I don't feel that direction, that guidance, that acknowledgement from You, I feel like I'm starving. I'm thirsty. I want it. My soul needs it. You know, I want to encourage us that we consider that. You know, are you looking at your life and are you considering that without the Lord constantly involved, that you're on an ocean without any food and without any water? And that you are truly suffering when we have a Savior who is reaching out and wanting to guide us and direct us at all times. You know, do you feel your need for the Lord? Are you aware of it every day? Do you go through a day without even considering, you know, if the Lord wants you to do something or say something or go somewhere, if He's trying to reach out to you, all those things, do you feel like you cannot live without Him? Are you hungry or are you thirsty for God? I want to go ahead and turn back to the book of Psalms. I want to read Psalm 69, and I'm not going to read all of it. We'll just read maybe one or two verses here. The 69th Psalm. Trying to think of how much I want to read here. I'll go, we'll just read 29 to 34. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let Thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. You know, this promise of salvation, this guidance and direction that we find through the Scripture and through the working of the Holy Spirit in our life, you know, the reminder of salvation is what it is that should be drawing us forward. Recognizing that we're making decisions every day that add to or take away from this promise of salvation. That we should be thirsting and hungering for the Lord to put us in His way. To put us where He wants us to be, to direct us toward Him. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. You know that word live there? Strong's defines it. That word live is to revive. Revive. So something that's revived was something that was without life prior. Something that was dead. And so when the Lord is this one who is working and moving upon us, it's as if the deadness of humanity, of our human life, is revived again. Revived again. And we are able to walk in the direction that He wants us to. I want to turn to the 119th Psalm, as long as we're here, 119. And I'll read verses 76 and 77 here. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to the word, to thy word unto thy servant. You know what's interesting is that there are times, oftentimes, parents, we know this, right? When our kid comes to us and says, Dad, I'm so hungry, and we offer them a choice of food, and they don't want it, right? This is a constant story in my household that, I find my children and they'll be so hungry and I'll tell them, well, you know, you can have an apple or something like that. And, oh, I don't want that. I'm not hungry for that. Of course, if it would have been cookie, they would have wanted it completely. But as a father, you know, as a mother, we know how to give those right things to our children. But they have to be willing to receive it. You know, here it says, he's asking the Lord, he says, you know, would your merciful kindness be for my comfort? And you know, sometimes we don't necessarily know exactly how the Lord is going to comfort us, or it may not make sense in our mind. Just like my children don't always understand why I'd rather them eat an apple instead of a cookie. I'd like them to keep their teeth for a little bit longer. You know, I'd like them to not become incredibly overweight because all they eat is cookie and all that sort of stuff, because an apple is good for them. You know, the Lord is the one who, if we're truly hungry and we're truly thirsty, part of that is we're willing to eat and to drink and to take in those things that He wants to give us, because in His kindness and in His fatherly ways of knowing all things, you know, He does for us when we're willing to go to Him and accept from Him what it is that we need for our comfort, for our strength, for our encouragement. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. You know, I don't think it's by chance that verse was written that way. That, you know, the Lord's mercies that bring us life, that revive us again, His blessings, His encouragements. You know, it's merciful when the Lord corrects us, isn't it? We're merciful when we correct our children, aren't we? Because we're trying to stop them from some further ill or danger or thing that may come. And so we stop them from doing it, you know, where we could just let them be. You know, so the Lord's tender mercies and His mercy that brings us life, reviving again, says, thy law is my delight. The Lord's law is what brings us to understand His mercy and to receive it, you know. When we're humble, when we are seeking Him daily, when we're looking to delight in His Word and to follow through, to have in our image the countenance of Christ, you know, it brings us delight and it brings us reviving again. It's that food for our soul. It's that water that quenches the thirst. You know, the Lord looks to do these things. But are you wanting it? Are you asking for it? Are you considering it? What is the Lord wants? You know, are you hungry for the Lord? Does your soul hunger? Does your soul thirst? I want to, before I go any farther, let's flip back to the 42nd Psalm again. And I'd read the first couple of verses, and let's go ahead and finish it here. Yeah, no, we're probably not going to finish it. Let's see how far we're going to go. Yeah, why not? All right, we'll do it. Let's go. I say finish it. We hadn't read it yet. I was thinking of 143. We're going to read Psalm 42. And I'm going to go ahead and read, starting with... I'll read till I stop. Just follow along. Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You know, it's interesting as we think about, when I read that, I'm drawn to the story of Christ when He's talking to that woman at the well, and He offers her that living water. And he says, you know, if you drink this, what I'm offering you, you're never going to be thirsty again. And we recognize it wasn't a literal water. He was talking about that thing that sustains a soul. You know, are we thirsty for those things that sustain our soul? You know, as David's writing here, my soul thirsteth for God, for His love, for His direction, for His correction, for His guidance. Where do I go? What things do I do? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept the holy day. Why art thou cast down, my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. You know, this is, I think, sometimes where we find ourselves is that we end up being cast down when we don't feel the Lord is working with us. And you know, where it should encourage us, sometimes our humanity causes us to draw back from the Lord. To draw back from the Lord. And I want to encourage us this day that you consider, do you consider that everything in your life comes from the Lord? And do you desire that He continues to give you everything in your life, from your job and how you do it day by day, to how you raise your children, to how you interact with your neighbor, to how you spend your money, to all of those things? I want to continue here. Hang on. Yeah, we'll just keep reading. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember Thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of Thy waterspouts. All Thy waves and Thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. And I will say unto God my rock, why hast Thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of mine enemies? As a sword within my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, and yet I shall praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. You know, we're encouraged here that when we're feeling this need for the Lord, that we seek rather than to doubt, that we pour out our hearts to Him. I want to move into kind of this second part of my sermon here, because this is the something that's been on my mind in context of all of these things. You know, in verse 4 here of the 42nd chapter of Psalms, he says, you know, that when he remembers all these things, he says, I pour out my soul within me. I've been thinking about that. Was it last week that Gary preached, or maybe it was a week before that, maybe last week? He was talking about, you know, the condition of our heart. And remember, he had a stone here, and he was talking about how, you know, the Lord can't work with a stone. And then he pulled out some Play-Doh, and he was molding it. And he says, you know, this is really what the Lord wants, is a moldable heart, one that can be what He wants it to be. And he talked about it, that, you know, our heart really can be a cup that the Lord can fill with things. And I've been thinking about that. In this context, you know, at this time when I'm hungry for the Lord, you know, my soul is full of desire to know, of desire to be led, of those things. And you know, here I feel like we find in Scripture that there's this thing that helps us to be fed by the Lord, and it's this act of pouring out our heart to Him. Whatever it is that's within us. There was a sermon that Jay preached a couple of years ago in Colorado, and if you didn't happen to be there, it's worth pulling up on our website and listening to, about pouring out your heart and talking about Christ, you know, and what it was as He gave His life, you know, that He was spilling His blood, that He was pouring out everything that was in Him. And I don't want to re-preach that sermon in any way, but I've just thought about that so much here, that when we find ourselves that we are hungry and we're thirsty for the Lord, how do we approach Him? How is it that we do it? What is it that we do? You know, yesterday I was up there, I was at the ranch, and I had my friend with me. This friend, he was my partner for many years on the SWAT team at work, and you know, he's one of the truest friends I've had. And has been with me through all of these troubles and all of these trials that we've undergone. And he's a good guy. He He goes to church. He's active in his youth group and all that. And so I get time here and there to have conversation with him. And I try to grasp a hold of it when I can. Of course, the ranch is a good place for it because, number one, he can't get away. And number two, it's a place that I think for most of us, you know, we associate. I've gone there my whole life for various things as, you know, as it's our family property and all that. But, you know, what always stands out to me is what we've done there in worshiping the Lord and going there to have some peace and to get away from all the things of the world. And so we were having a discussion, and I talked to him about a time when he says, well, you know, we had discussed this thought and this direction and this commandment of the Lord about fasting and praying. Because I was expressing to him some of these thoughts about my hunger for the Lord's direction and reminding myself and encouraging him that, you know, so oftentimes the best way that we can find ourselves full of the Lord's blessing, when we can have our hunger satiated, is when we go completely without the world, without the cares of it. And I visited with him a little bit about a time when I was up there at the ranch, and I'd been just considering where I was in my life, and nothing really in particular other than just, you know, this, all right, Lord, what now? And I was, I wouldn't say troubled, but my soul was hungry for the Lord to speak to me. And I'd been praying and I'd been pouring out my heart. And I remember I had gone and I had walked down one of the roads there, and I got up on the side of a hill there that my dad and I used to like to sit on and visit. And I sat there, and it was a Sunday morning. I was going to preach that morning. We were going to have a service. And I remember that there was the noise of birds and all sorts of things going on. And I was simply sitting there considering. I had my scriptures with me, but they weren't open. And considering and kind of openly pouring my heart out to the Lord. And all the noise stopped. And the birds were quiet and there was nothing there. The Lord spoke to me. And he asked me, Adam, what is life? And I don't know, Lord, what is it that you want? I don't know what the proper answer is here to this open-ended question. He said, you know, I am life. You know, that made a difference in the direction that I began to go. And my hungry soul was satiated by the word of the Lord, but it was because I had done those things to pour out my heart to the Lord. You know, I want us to consider some of these things. As you find yourself in your life in a place of need, and I hope that you are, I hope that everybody who's in here is not able to sit back and say, well, I'm satisfied. That you look at your life and you see that in some way you are thirsty for the Lord. You know, you're thirsty and that you're hungry for His Word to be upon you. But how do we do that? You know, I believe that we need to be pouring out our heart. You know, this concept of pouring out our heart, you know, we find it throughout Scripture. We'll read a couple of them. But, you know, one thing that I want us to just think about is, you know, as you look in the Bible and you look at this word pour, it is almost always, it's associated with blood. With blood. You know, in the law of Moses, you know, there was a law, right, that you weren't supposed to take blood. You weren't supposed to drink the blood. You killed an animal, all the blood was poured out upon the ground. When they came in and they went to do sacrifice, they caught all of the blood in basins. That blood was not to be consumed. It was to be completely poured out. And I thought about that. You know, we look through Scripture, but that's the basis of it, right? And that it's poured out completely. And I thought about that. You know, what does it mean to pour something? We read through Scripture that people say that, you know, I pour out my soul. Well, what does that mean? You know, I got a glass of water here, and if I just did this, would I be pouring it? I'm just spilling it, right? Spilling isn't pouring, you know. Pouring is absolutely emptying. I don't have anything in there. I drank the rest of it before I came up. This is pouring, though, right? We empty it all out. We lay it all openly before the Lord. We give all of it to Him. Like the point that Jay had brought in his sermon, like the Lord did, right? Bled all of His blood out for us, poured it all out. You know, that we need to be in your life. If you have not had that time, or if you are not having those times where you find your quiet place, and whatever it is that's in your heart, anxiety, fear, joy, thanksgiving, frustration, if you're not pouring it all out, emptying it all to the Lord, speaking to Him about it, telling Him about it, you're missing out. You're missing out on your hunger and your thirst for the Lord being filled. Maybe I can expand upon that a little bit so that you consider a little bit deeper. Maybe I'll miss the mark on that. But I want to turn to Mosiah in the 11th chapter. You've heard me read this and give this account so many times. You know, this is something, this is one of those stories that we find in Scripture that to me, it's so important to speak to us where we are today. You know, when people try to say, well, the Scriptures don't apply to today, I don't buy it, because this applies to each one of us. 278 is the page. It's Mosiah 11, this is the story, we know it. Alma and his people, they were enslaved. You've heard me say this so many times. And there were taskmasters put over them, and they were enslaved terribly, and so they began crying out to God, which is the only thing they knew how to do. And they were told, if you don't stop crying out, we're gonna kill you. And so verse 59, it came to pass that Alma and his people did not raise their voices unto the Lord, but they did pour out their hearts to him. And he did know the thoughts of their heart. You know, I'll go on, but we know what comes next. But you know, this particular thought that, you know, in their desperation for relief, for mercy to be upon them, you know, they left nothing in their heart. They didn't hold anything back. They gave everything to the Lord in their seeking of Him, for Him to bless them. He knew what the thoughts of their heart was, that there wasn't within one of them, you know, a plan to overcome, or a plan to do it. They put it all before the Lord. Everything that was in them, they poured out to the Lord, because they recognized that only through His direction, only through His guidance, were they able to be saved. Were they able to be fed? Was their thirst to be quenched? Those things that I'm discussing with you today. And it came to pass, the voice of the Lord came unto them in their afflictions, saying, lift up your heads, be of good comfort, for I know the covenant that you made unto me, and I will covenant with this my people to deliver them out of bondage. And I'll ease the burdens which are put upon your shoulders, that you cannot feel them upon your backs, even while you're in bondage. And this will I do, that you may stand as witnesses for me hereafter, that you may know of a surety that I, the Lord God, do visit my people in their afflictions. And we know that the Lord answered their prayers to them, pouring out their whole hearts, and His answer wasn't at that time to relieve them, but they had to endure for a time. And it was for a purpose. The Lord offered them an apple and not a cookie to satisfy their hunger. But it came, and that relief and that eventual salvation from that situation, because they left nothing else, they poured out their whole heart to the Lord. They gave their effort to petitioning Him. Even though they were working in those things, you know, if I consider what it would be to pour out their heart, I mean, you know, they weren't distracted. They put it all before the Lord. I think that's something that we need to consider. Alma chapter 16. Really familiar verses here. 219 to 222. Yeah, we'll read 218 to 222. Most of you can probably almost recite these. Therefore, may God grant unto you, my brethren, that you might exercise your faith unto repentance, that you begin to call upon His holy name, that He would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto Him for mercy, for He's mighty to save. Humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto Him. Cry unto Him when you're in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto Him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Cry unto Him against the power of your enemies. Cry unto him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness, all those things that our heart may be filled with, these concerns and all that, that we can pour it out to the Lord. Cry unto him over the crops of your field, that you may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your field, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets and in your secret places and in your wildernesses. And when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare and for the welfare of those that are around you. You know, that we leave nothing unsaid, that we leave no care within our heart, but that we give it all unto the Lord and we ask him, do with this what you will. You know, crying to him over the crops of your field. You know, Lord, there's these opportunities that are in front of me that would provide for my needs and for my family. I'm going to give every single one of them to you, and I'm not going to hold anything back. You know what I want. You know where I want to be. You know the goals I have in my life. But if they're not yours, I don't want to do them. I'm hungry for your will. I've got nothing left in my heart. I'm holding nothing back. We need to be doing this. We need to be doing this. And it's not I don't believe that this is something that we just bow our heads and offer a prayer and pour out our whole souls for. I believe it's something that takes effort and it takes considering of where our heart is and spending time in fasting and prayer and considering your walk before the Lord and all these things. But pour out your heart to him for all these things. We must pour out our heart to him if we truly want to be fed. Let's go to Helaman chapter 3. Ooh, I wrote this one in late. I wonder what this one is. I didn't put a note next to it. Is the page. You know, this particular story is about Nephi. And this is shortly before the time of Christ. And, you know, he was just distressed by all these things that were going to happen. This is before, and this is, I think, laying some of the groundwork for Samuel the Lamanite to come and to speak to the people. But, you know, here, I'll just read verse 12 and verse 15. It came to pass that there were certain men passing by. They saw Nephi as he was pouring out his soul unto God upon his tower. And they ran and told the people what they had seen. The people came together in multitudes that they might know the cause of so great mourning for the wickedness of the people. And verse 15, Nephi speaking to him, he says, "Yea, because I've got up on my tower that I might pour out my soul to God because of the exceeding sorrow of my heart, because of your iniquities." I just kind of cut off what he was saying there. But you know, here we see that Nephi, because he was overwhelmed and all of the things that he had endeavored to do were coming to naught. And so the only thing that he could do was to find a place where he was alone and to pour out his whole soul unto the Lord. And, you know, he laid groundwork there in that. He laid groundwork for what was to come. And we know that this Nephi, you know, that he is a mighty man, that the Lord gave him all sorts of ability and power. So you're not going to do anything that I don't command you to do. And so if you call for a famine, why, there'll be a famine or all those things. But, you know, what did he do when all of the efforts that he had made were of nothing? He went and he poured out his soul to the Lord. Poured it out. And what happened? You know, there came a man, Samuel the Lamanite, came and prophesied to the people. And not long after that, you know, that Christ was born. There were all these things that happened. But, you know, Nephi was laying the groundwork. His heart was hungry for the Lord to help and to work with him. And he poured out his soul. Just another occasion we see in Scripture where we see this happening over and over again. I'm going to go back to the book of Psalms, the 62nd chapter. We'll read two verses, and then I'm going to be coming to a close here shortly. So I'm going to start in uh, I'll start in verse 1. I'll start in verse 1 here. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, and from Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. You know, in those things, it's this acknowledgement that that David was not able to accomplish it himself. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. You know, the situation that there were all these people who were arrayed against him, and yet he here is acknowledging, and he's pouring out his soul to the Lord because he's hungry for the Lord to come and to direct and to guide. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Pour out your heart before the Lord. Lay it all before Him, that He protect you, that He guide you, that He direct you, that He lead you. Psalm 143, verse 8, it says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. You know, this is the God that we trust and that we love, that He wants to direct us and guide us. I want to just quickly cause you to consider Christ and what it was that He went through. You know, we recognize this, that and we know it, that here He is, He's in the garden, and He is desperate for His Father to be with Him. He is desperate for it. And he kneels down and He's in prayer. And you know, He's pouring out His soul to the point that He was sweating drops of blood. He was laying it all before the Lord, all before His Father, asking for the strength and for the encouragement, asking for all those things. You know, His Father sent an angel and strengthened Him. But you know, we find this example here of how it is that we petition the Lord when we find ourselves hungry. You know, that Christ did all these things. He fasted and He prayed, and he went and he drew Himself apart, and He poured out His heart to the Lord, to His Father, and He received that strength and that encouragement. I'm going to go ahead and close with 1 Peter chapter 5. I don't feel like I've done a very good job of expressing the things that I've been considering these last couple of days, but perhaps you, as you consider these things and you consider where you're at in your life, as you consider what's going on, your need for direction and guidance, so many of us have expressed it, that you consider how it is that you are praying, that as you recognize your need for the Lord, as you recognize your hunger and your thirst for Him to be present, that you consider how it is you're approaching Him. Are you laying it all before Him? Are you pouring out your whole heart? This is my favorite scripture in all of Scripture here, because it's been something that I've drawn to on times of difficulty. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You know, that truly humbling yourself, that is that act of pouring out everything, that you know, someone who is humble holds nothing back. They hold nothing back. And if we want the Lord to help you through whatever where you're at, young or old, whatever it is, that you can hold nothing back from Him. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, that He will lift you up, that He will raise you up in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Got a little note here that word care, it tells me here in my Bible, it says anxiety. Casting all your anxieties, casting all of your frustrations, casting all of those things that cause us concern, our lack of knowledge, our wondering where we go, what it is that we do. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. I hope that with a couple hours of preparation, just a few, that I've been able to lay for you those things that are on my heart to encourage you, that you look at your life and are you considering that without the Lord leading you in every decision, leading you day by day, that you truly are starving. And then as you consider that, that we look and see how it is that it's done. That when we pour out everything that's in our heart, then it's empty and it's ready to be filled by the Lord. When we do all those things, that the Lord is able to then work with us and speak to us and help us and encourage us. You know, these are the things that we've seen throughout Scripture, we've seen throughout time, you've experienced it, many of you throughout your life. And sometimes, you know, after we've lived in times of prosperity and happiness for a while and then troubles come, we have to be reminded again how we overcame it the last time. How did God do it with us before? I've been here before, but it's been a while. And remembering what it's like to feel desperate for the Lord to speak. But He's given us the direction and the guidance that we can hear and obey His voice and be able to receive that salvation that He promised. So I hope that you gain something from the message this morning. Thank you.